Welcome to Midpoint. I'm Sean Canaan. I'm the host of Midpoint Monday. Last week, the Department of Justice concluded that although the Tampa Police Department issued disproportionately more tickets to black bicyclists than it was not intentional, and therefore not racial discrimination. But a local group that's critical of how the police treat people of color want a second investigation, this time from the Justice Department's Civil Rights Division. We'd like your input, so here's how you can join the conversation. The number is 813-239-9663. You can also email us your question or comment to dj@wmnf.org. You can text us at 813-433-0885. And if you call now, you'll be first on the air. My guest today is the co-chair of the group Tampa for Justice. It's fighting to end what it says are appearances of racial discrimination by police. The Reverend Dr. Russell Meyer is also executive director of Florida Council of Churches. Welcome to WMNF's Midpoint, Russell.
Good to be with you. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thanks so much for joining us. So let's set up this issue. We're going to first listen to a very short soundbite from last week. The Department of Justice released its conclusions in a press conference, and you can hear my full report on our website, wmnf.org/news, and we'll play more audio from that press conference later on in the show. But here's just a quick summary from the U.S. Attorney for the Middle District of Florida. His name is Lee Bentley.
That although the bicycle ticketing had a racially disparate impact, it was not discriminatory. There was absolutely no intent on the part of TPD to discriminate on the basis of the race. No discriminatory intent whatsoever. It's also clear that many people in the community, including the most affected communities, predominantly African Americans, supported what TPD was doing.
All right, well, that's Lee Bentley, who is the U.S. Attorney for the Middle District of Florida, kind of summarizing what happened in the Department of Justice's COPS report, and we'll dig deep into all of that in a moment. But let's set up the issue first. Why was the Department of Justice looking at the Tampa police and its dealings with the black community?
This investigation began in response to a series of newspaper articles, investigative reporting out of the Tampa Bay Times just about a year ago, in which the number of bicycle stops and citations and arrests that the Tampa Police Department issued over the last several years exceeded all the other metropolitan areas in the state of Florida combined.
And the Justice Department, when it looked at that, it didn't find contradictory information to that. It kind of agreed. It said, yeah, you know, if you look at the proportion of black people in Tampa and you looked at the proportion of black bicycle stops, there was a disproportionate effect of race. But then they concluded that even though it was disproportionate, there was no racist intent.
Well, let's be very careful with our language here. And that's exactly what the state's attorney, the U.S. district attorney is doing. He's being very careful. So the intent for racial discrimination on the part of the police is a tightly designed legal argument laid out by Supreme Court rulings. And so on a very technical basis, he could rule that. Basically, an officer would have to be yelling the N-word at the moment of arrest in order to lock them down with discrimination in that point. Our argument is a much broader, much deeper, much more persistent kind of argument. And it's best illustrated in the report itself when they offer some kind of rationale to explain the disparity. If there's not discrimination, why the disparity? So one of the pieces offered, for instance, is that black children ride bicycles differently than white children. And you just kind of go, excuse me? What does that look like? I've watched the X Games. I've watched children. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's preposterous. And so if the only thing you can come up with to explain the disparity is preposterous statements that are based upon a racist understanding of society, that there is a thing called black and there's a thing called white, and people actually are brought up with completely different behavioral attributes because they fall in one of these two artificial categories that human society has constructed. So the whole argument for explaining the disparity is based upon a racist structure of thinking. So when you then begin to say, is the discriminatory intent, the deeper question is this. Because you are highly educated people and you understand the way racist structures form intent in institutions, so that you don't actually have to have an individual uttering the N-word in the act of a stop or an arrest, there is this deeper kind of persistent problem. Now, when you look at what we have been told directly by the chief of police in face-to-face meetings, that the three districts in the Tampa Police Department have different policing protocols, and that this particular protocol was only aimed at District 3, and that the intent was to impact bicycle crashes when that's not where the bicycle crashes actually happen. The report says this, by the way. And so you begin to look at why all of the over-policing in this neighborhood when the city and the police department themselves say the four major crimes in the city of Tampa are break-ins, robberies, auto break-ins, and auto thefts. None of those are committed on a bicycle. And so then you have to ask, why are you focusing on African-American youth, particularly with this bicycle problem? And you begin to drill down on that. You have to say that there is some kind of racial discrimination going on in the policies and practices of the police department, not just in the behavior of individual officers.
Is District 3 East Tampa?
Yes.
Which is, there's a lot of African American communities East Tampa. This investigation was put on by the COPS program.
That's correct.
And your concern, and I mean this plural, like your group's concern, is that the COPS program, which stands for community oriented policing services, that's part of the Department of Justice, and that you say that they have kind of a police mindset, and so it's not very surprising that they would come down on the side of the police in this case, and that you want the Department of Justice's other arm, which is the Civil Rights Division, to look at this. Why would that be a different type of investigation?
Well, you find what you go looking for. And so what the COPS program goes looking for is, have you implemented the best practices of policing that we advocate when we come in and help you improve your programming? And so if what you're looking for is whether or not you've completed the assignment correctly, then that's what you're going to find, and that's what the report says. The report says you did a really bad job in carrying out the assignment. That is not a civil rights investigation. Doesn't even have the tools behind it. You have to bring in the Civil Rights Division of Department of Justice, who have civil rights tools to use in order to do that investigation. So what we have here is a big unanswered question. And what we have clearly laid out is a failed, absolutely failed policy. And there's more about this failure we can talk about.
Our guest is Russell Meyer. He is the co-chair of the group Tampa for Justice. He's also executive director of the Florida Council of Churches. You're listening to Midpoint. I'm Sean Canaan. I'm the host of Midpoint Monday on WMNF. It's 12:15 in the afternoon. If you'd like to give us a call, the number is 813-239-9663. You can email us at dj@wmnf.org or text us at 813-433-0885. So the report concluded that the Tampa police were going into these communities, especially in District 3 here, but the reason that they said that they were going in there is because that's where the crime was to begin with, and so they were policing more heavily, and they were pulling over more people on bicycles in these neighborhoods, because these neighborhoods is where crime occurred. How do you think about, what's your opinion about that as far as a reason for having that many more bicycle citations and people being pulled over?
Well, what the report says, and I'm simply quoting the report, is there simply is no linkage. There's no data, there's no evidence that actually links those two things together. That the stopping the bicyclists had no impact on the crimes they were actually trying to impact. And so it was simply a failed policy that wasn't thought through very well. So when we do a more deeper investigation, we'll see that this comes out of the broken windows policies of New York City, the racial profiling that's happened on the street. Look, there was a report this past couple of months that since New York City stopped its racial profiling and its broken windows policy, crime has gone down. That actually what they were doing was angering the community so badly they were causing people to act out because of community distrust. What we're really about is building a really more robust community trust between the community and the police. But if you look at all of the young people in the community as suspicion from the get-go, you cannot create community trust from a perspective of suspicion. That's, I think, one of the things that's at the root of this.
And the Department of Justice looked at the crime rate, and it said, it looked at since, so this policy has changed, at least they say it's been changed, that there are fewer bicycle pullovers and there's less racial disparity now than there was a year ago before the Tampa Bay Times report came out. And yet there's only been a very slight and statistically not significant decrease in the crime rate. So to translate all that, the bicycle stops were not reducing crime, which is something that you said. And so it kind of surprised me with all this information. There's been disproportionately more black people pulled over. It didn't affect the crime rate. The crime rate did not go down because of this policy. Yet it seemed like a victory celebration. I don't want to say celebration, but it seemed like the Tampa officials who were there, Mayor Buckhorn and the new police chief, made it sound like the city was completely vindicated and this was, you know, and that they were great. And a reporter asked Mayor Buckhorn if he would apologize for having this policy that had disproportionate number of black people affected, and yet it had no effect on the crime rate. And this is what Mayor Buckhorn, when he was asked if he would apologize, this was his response.
I'm never going to apologize for being aggressive in the crime fight. It's just not going to happen. This was a tactic that we used. It was a tactic that I think for the majority of the people in the communities that were affected, they were appreciative of the fact that we were there, that we were disrupting the drug trade and the gun trade and the violence. There were some who had another opinion. I don't think it warrants an apology, but I do think it warrants corrective action based on the report that we just got from the COPS program. We strive every day to be better. We're not always correct. Our tactics are not always correct. They are done with the best of intentions, and I think this report proved that. Yeah, I mean, it pointed out in very clear and certain terms, that this was not a discriminatory practice, that this was a practice that was driven with the best of intent, deploying officers in high-crime neighborhoods, that the neighbors largely appreciated it. And so when we need to adapt, we will adapt, and we're going to take these recommendations and move forward, and the end result will be a better police department, a more effective deployment of resources, and tactics, and the end result, I also hope, will be an even further reduction in crime than we've already seen.
So that's Tampa Mayor Bob Buckhorn saying he would not apologize for this policy of having more black people pulled over than others.
Well, look, I'm a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. At the center of that is the value of forgiveness and being able to say, I'm sorry. I mean, it's just a central value. So the notion that any public official should never, ever have to say they're sorry or apologize, it's just, that's a kind of concept I don't know how to engage. Let me speak about this. If we look at the city budget, it's almost two-thirds in public safety. And then we begin to calculate the tens of thousands of human resource hours that were put into this policy that was absolutely failed. And then we ask this more deeper question about what would make Tampa a really jewel on the sea? Why wouldn't we take those funds and put them into enriching some of our most impoverished communities and building up the lives of young people so they could be economically successful and participate in the Tampa of the 21st century? And so then to say what we're going to do is step on their necks in order to tap down on crime. And if you dig deep into the what the city talks about, it talks about meth as a really big crime that we're looking at. Begin to ask some questions. Is that what we're seeing dealt in these neighborhoods? None of it stacks up. And so I live in Tampa Palms. This policing policy has never been executed in Tampa Palms. There are kids who do the same bicycling stuff in Tampa Palms as they do in District 3. If they were stopped, arrested, and cited, there would be attorneys, there would be fundraisers, there'd be all kinds of people in the mayor's office, and it would stop overnight. And so what you have is a section of the city that doesn't have much voice in City Hall being used as a political tool. And that's wrong. What we need to be doing is taking these resources that are being used to control black and brown young bodies and use them to build them up so they can be the next great Tampanians of the 21st century.
After this, the investigation came out where it was found that there was this disparity. The city council said it wanted to have and it was put, your group was helping to push it in this direction, that it wanted to have a review board where citizens can have oversight over the police. And then Mayor Buckhorn made up his own review board, which in the intervening time you've said this isn't good enough, you want more. And so tell our listeners about what your group wants to do, and you're gathering signatures now to have a referendum for an independent review board. What would that look like?
So the civilian investigative panel that we're seeking to have written into the Tampa City Charter would create a community-based oversight mechanism of the Tampa Police Department. The design we have in mind is in line with the 21st Century Policing Report. It's actually recommended something very similar to what we're talking about. It's recommended in the DOJ report. It has to be independent because of Florida law. In various places around the country, these boards get constituted in different ways. Because of Florida law, it has to be independent of the police department. Florida law is very specific. It's just been tested in Miami all the way through the end of the appeals process. Once a police department sets up a review process for police behavior, that can be the only process used for administering discipline in the police department. And so the administrative board the mayor has set up, all it can do is double check the math that's already been done. It can't take any new cases, can't do anything else. Highly restricted. The only way the kind of things envisioned by the 21st Century Police Task Force report could ever be implemented in Florida is by an independent board. So we've researched what the best practices are out there. That's what we've put on paper, and that's what we're asking to write into the city charter.
And during this hour, you're going to a meeting about this issue. Why don't you tell listeners what that meeting is all about so that they can kind of look what to expect to hear coming out of that meeting in the next day or so?
Well, I'll be going to Tampa Bay Coalition of Clergy, which is one of several clergy coalitions and clergy groups across the city, and talking with a number of as many clergy as we can about this issue. Many are on board. Look, Mayor Buckhorn has an African-American Ministers Advisory Committee, and nobody knows who's on it. It's a shadow government body. The mayor's got several advisory committees. Nobody knows who's on those. If you're on them, you don't talk about being on them. I think every politician should have as many advisory committees as they want, and they should all be in the sunshine. The rest of us should know who is advising our government on public policy. That shouldn't be a secret. Those kinds of secrets are by themselves dangerous by definition. And so one of the difficulties is being able to have these open kinds of conversations. Let's talk openly about how we create the best possible climate between the police and the community. That's what this is about.
So you have a meeting today with leaders in the Black community? And
yes, right. They're mostly, not completely, but mostly a clergy out of the East Tampa area.
Well, Dr. Russell Meyer is Reverend, is chair of the group Tampa for Justice, and thank you so much for joining us on the show today, Russell.
It's a pleasure to be with you. Thank you, Sean.
Thanks so much for joining us, and we're going to go to the phones in just a second. First, there's more from last week's press conference. Ron Davis is the Department of Justice COPS Director, and COPS is Community-Oriented Policing Services. Here's what Ron Davis from the Department of Justice said during that press conference.
Now, this assessment included a comprehensive analysis of bicycle law enforcement focusing on bike stops and citations in Tampa. The team conducted interviews with police officers and residents, did document review, data analysis, and as you recall, held an opening listening session. We got technical data from the police department on bicycle stops, citation, crashes involving injuries, calls for service, crime mapping and data. In short, the department did, I think our experts did a tremendous job in sifting through all documents and data, interviews, perceptions, community feedback to come up with the analysis. Now, let me tell you some basic summaries of the analysis, and I'll turn it over to my colleague to get into more of the details, but I think what stands out. First, as you did hear, the assessment found that the number of Black bicyclists stopped by the police department greatly exceeded that of white bicyclists. Now, in doing this assessment, we use bicycle crashes as a proxy for the population of bicycle riders in Tampa. We found that whites make up 49% of bicycle crashes, but only accounted for 26% of the actual stops. And Blacks make up 40% of the bicycle crashes, but accounted for 73% of the stops. Among stopped cyclists, Black bicyclists were more likely to receive a formal citation than white bicyclists. The team could not determine whether they observed racial disparities, and we do not believe that there were any racial disparities or, I would say, discriminatory actions, but we would like to see additional data in the future to get a better analysis of exactly what that means. The data clearly shows that significant disparities in stops and ticketing practices exist, although, as I stated before, these disparities do not appear to be intentional. Now, the police department, when initially looking at this data, offered that the purpose of the bicycle stops were threefold. One, to improve bicycle safety. Two, to reduce bicycle theft. Three, to prevent crimes in high crime areas using stops as a part of a proactive policing strategy. I'll summarize this and then turn it to Ajumar to get into the details, but our assessment, our analysis, showed that those goals of the program were not met. The data did not validate any three of those reasons offered why the stops were conducted. In short, the team found that the bicycle stops were not effective in reducing crime. They were not effective in recovering stolen bicycles or preventing bicycle thefts, and they were not really effective in increasing bicycle safety. What it did do unintentionally is have a disparate impact on people of color riding bikes in Tampa, and it also would then strain the relationship between the police and the community.
That's Ron Davis from the Department of Justice's COPS program. He's the Director of Community-Oriented Policing Services. So if we'd like you to call in and tell us what you think about this issue, 813-239-9663. We'll go to Nate in just a second, who's been holding. And first, you can also email your questions or comments to dj@wmnf.org. You can text us at 813-239-9663. 833-0885. I want to read an email that came in. Wendell says, we all know that if you go scanning any neighborhood in the Bay Area with bicycles, you'll find the same behavior of people riding bicycles. It's a matter of whether or not the police will use discretion in stopping a black bicycle rider. Of course, it's a case of race and class. All you have to do is look at the prison population to conclude the overhandedness of the Tampa Bay Police Authority. Most white administrators like Buckhorn will always deny the obvious bias and injustice, which is largely based on race and class. That's from Wendell in downtown St. Pete. So you don't have to be in Tampa to join this conversation. We'd like to hear your observations and your experiences out whether you're in Tampa or wherever else you are. 813-239-9663. Hi, Nate. Thanks for holding. What's on your mind?
You know, I grew up in that area. And, you know, when I was younger, yes, I can admit there were times when that area was horrible. But what bothers me most about all this is that I'm glad I had the mother that I had, because she always taught me to respect, like, law enforcement, people of authority and all that. And listening to that news conference and looking at all this stuff, I live in a very affluent neighborhood in Pasco County. We have a bike trail that runs all the way around the neighborhood and through the neighborhood. And I can tell you from firsthand, the rules that they set that are rules for bike trails are broken every single day. And I have never ever seen anybody given a citation. I have 5 police officers live on my road, and their own children don't have helmets on. I'm talking about little kids on scooters, bikes, everything, going the wrong way. They got arrows out there where they want to keep the flow going one way. Everybody breaks the rules. Nobody follows it, even with fishing, and there's signs that say no fishing. And I fish with one of the police officers every Saturday morning. We fish right past the sign that say no fishing. And he's a cop.
So you think that there's a disparity in how police handle infractions, small infractions or large infractions?
Well, I think that the police commissioner and his little body of talking point people actually think that the people are stupid, and that they could just stand on TV and say, well, we didn't find that this was racially motivated. Are you serious? You can't have 73 to 40 and say it's not racially motivated. Let's be real. I will always respect law enforcement because I was raised that way, and I'm from a family full of cops. Even to this day, my youngest niece is now going to school to be a cop. But I just don't understand why this stuff has to happen. If you got a high crime area, then go to the high crime area and deal with crime. But you're talking about ticketing folks on bikes. And then you don't want no one to get, then when we get outraged by it, it's just we're playing a race card. My thing is, I wish someone would do an expose of just my neighborhood alone and just put cameras out there and watch the bicycle violations. I'm talking about 100 every day. And on the weekend, sir, it's even worse. It's all day long because no one's working. You know, everybody used to work Monday through Friday. And again, my neighborhood is littered with police officers and now actually 2 detectives. Nobody says anything. I'm talking about kids riding down the middle of the road past my house, no helmet on, bicycles. Nobody says anything. They just wave and everybody go on doing what they're doing, cutting their grass and walking their dogs. It's crazy. But 90% of my neighborhood is white. There's only 5 black families in my neighborhood. I don't have a problem with it. I've done well in life and I've moved on to a better neighborhood, but nobody does a thing about the same violations that they're standing on TV saying they have to write citations for, and I think it's sad.
All right, Nate, thank you so much for that perspective. We want to hear from you, 813-239-9663. You can also email us at dj@wmnf.org or text us at 813-433-0885. We have Anonymous in Palm Harbor. Hi, Anonymous. What's on your mind?
Hi, I'm actually going to give you my name.
Oh, great.
My name's Melissa, and I want to start out to say I work in the computer department, administered for 7 years, the records system for the Pinellas County Sheriff's Office. And I have so many points that I could bring up, you probably wouldn't have enough time. First of all, the previous gentleman who talked about, you know, having lived in the area where they were giving out the tickets, every police department does things differently. Actually, I should back up and say, I love WMNF. Absolutely love them. I love all the shows. But having worked with law enforcement, and I'm a civilian, was not a certified law enforcement. My background's computers. And doing analysis, I did the reporting to the state of Tallahassee for the Pinellas County Sheriff's Office. There's all kinds of guidelines. it concerns me deeply that a lot of the shows that WMNF puts on are anti-police. And I don't think it's the intention, but that's one of the points I want to bring out. It's like in anything. You can have a couple bad apples in any type of business. You can't say the police. And yes, in this situation, they were given directives by someone of higher authority, because, and they don't just, they, this is not, and I totally disagree and respectfully disagree with your guest that this is not discrimination. If you say the east side of Tampa, I'm sure you know where Skippers is. Is Skippers considered the east side of Tampa?
I would call that north of Tampa.
North of Tampa, but the east side would be coming from there towards, like, the fairgrounds out this direction.
Yeah, maybe from the fairgrounds to Nebraska or so.
Right. Okay. Well, Skippers is at Nebraska. I can tell you, I go to Skippers all the time, and there's a McDonald's up at Fowler in Nebraska. I cannot tell you how many times I have had people, and unfortunately black people, and I will also state the fact that I am part Native American, so I'm not discriminating. There's all kinds of just discriminatory issues out there, but the way the bikes are ridden, and the one person made the comment, oh, are you trying to say that people ride bikes one way in one neighborhood versus a different way? We're not talking the function of a bike where you get on and you pedal and you steer. It's the attitude of the people on the bikes. I believe that the reason they did this is for bike safety. The gentleman who said he was from Pasco County, that particular sheriff does not choose to address that issue. The sheriff who's in charge of Hillsborough County chooses to do it. I would like to challenge, and I don't know, I actually probably need to do some research and touch base with the sheriffs in different counties. I would challenge a lot of the hosts on WMNF, your host that you have, the minister, I believe is his title, I could be wrong, he's from a church, if they could do ride-alongs and see what is happening out and what the police officers have to deal with, they, I think, would be very surprised. You know, the gentleman who's from the church, he doesn't have people coming into the church who are being rude, disorderly. So what he sees of the people who come from his neighborhood, you can't compare that to the people who are out in areas where the police have to go out and investigate things. So it's apples to oranges, but I truly believe if people could do ride-alongs, and I don't mean one, I mean on during the week, on the weekends, the different areas that they need to crack down on things. And I'm sure everyone agrees that one of our biggest problems is lack of respect, not just for law enforcement, but for authority in general.
So, Melissa, hey, I have a question for you. So you're suggesting that maybe, if I'm reading into what you're saying correctly, that what the Tampa police did wasn't wrong when, this is according to the DOJ report, that they confirmed the existence of stark racial disparities in bicycle law enforcement. If you're saying that what Tampa police did was not wrong in doing that, then how come they were the only police force in the whole state, or at least that did it to this magnitude?
I, as someone who's done research, and I'm recently retired, and a big portion of my professional career is research, I would have to look at the statistics, the circumstances, the geographical areas, the policies of the individual police agencies. Some choose to investigate certain things and others do not. But you can't just, blanket say that And I know you only have so many facts and so much time to put the information out there, but I believe that oftentimes comments that are made, the people who are making them, including, you know, the people from WMNF, people from different support groups, associations, they don't have the raw data in front of them. I personally would want to see exactly why they did it. But who, remind me, refresh my memory, who said that it was discriminatory?
So the Department of Justice COPS program said it was not discriminatory. They said that they had non-racial reasons for doing what they did, but there were disparities. There were racial disparities. So I'm actually going to move on, though. I appreciate your call. I like that you gave us your perspective, but we've had a long time on this call, so I am going to move on to the other ones. But Melissa, thanks so much for calling.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's move on to Anita in Dade City. Hi, Anita.
Hi. Number one, I disagree with your last caller, but I just want to put something out there that a lot of people aren't talking about. When young black men and women are in the court system and convicted of like a minor infraction, or they're convicted felons, one of the first things that's done in Florida is their driver's license is taken away. So this automatically targets these people. What options do a lot of these black people have in their communities when they have to resort to riding bikes just to get to work or to get to the store or to pick up their kid or whatever errand they need to do? Automatically they're a target. And when the police are surveilling these communities, the person on the bike is, in their eyes, most likely a convicted felon of some sort. So I think that's a topic actually for another show, because this is something nobody talks about. And this is very real within the black community, is the fact that many of these people, even if they've had a DUI or they've just they've had tickets or a minor infraction or maybe arrested for pot, they're going to be on a bike just to get around. And this is a significant target for the police. And these people are treated differently. And that is wrong. That is discrimination, and that is racial profiling.
All right, thank you, Anita. Thanks for calling. 813-239-9663. If you'd like to join this conversation, you can also email your question or comment to dj@wmnf.org or text us at 813-433-0885. We're talking about the Department of Justice report on the Tampa Police Department and that they issued disproportionately more tickets to black bicyclists, but also that it was not intentional and therefore not racial discrimination. I'm Sean Canaan. I'm the host of Midpoint Monday on WMNF Tampa. It's 12:44 in the afternoon, and we'd like to hear from you. Rick writes in an email. He says Melissa hit the nail directly on the head. That's the caller two callers ago who said that WMNF hosts are badmouth the police, and that the police kind of don't get a fair shake from some people in the community, like our guests earlier as well. So if you agree or disagree, let us know. 813-239-9663. And let's see, Rick in Tampa, you've been holding a while. Hi, Rick.
Hey, good afternoon. Let me start with saying this. I myself have brown skin, so, you know, I have seen a lot of time racial attack and racism happen. However, on this specific event, I'm on a fence. I'm not supporting 100% Tampa police. I'm not supporting 100% black community. The reason being is I lived in a black community, and I know that their parents are not doing a good job raising their kids. That's the first thing that needs to happen. Obviously, police cannot be racial. There's no question about it. But I have seen about 30 to 40%, I would say 30 to 40% max number of black kids are being raised correctly. Other than that, parents don't care. Kids are innocent. They don't know what is right, what is wrong. But their parents don't care. They are not paying attention.
Rick, and you're not worried that what you're saying is like a really serious generalization and kind of a little bit... I don't know. You're not worried about what you just said?
I have seen this. I'm just saying what I have seen it. And you know, that's just my experience. Someone else might have a better experience. I'm not categorizing anyone. I'm just what I have seen. That's what I'm explaining. The parents. I'm not saying kids are bad. Kids are innocent. They don't know what is right, what is wrong. They need to be raised correctly. I've seen parents they get help from government instead of spending on kids. They use their money for themselves. So kids don't get anything, and they just go out on the street and you know try to entertain themselves and get into some situation like this. But I would definitely say police should not be a racial, because as I say, I've been to the racism. I have seen what racism is. So, you know, that's all I would like to say.
All right, thank you for calling, Rick. 813-239-9663 if you'd like to call. We have Millie in Pasco County. Hi, Millie.
Hey. I used to live in Gainesville in the 80s, and they had some tough bike laws. They had a lot of bikes, but if you got pulled over on the wrong side of the road, you could get in a lot of trouble. So it was, like, heavy there, but I've also had trouble in Pasco County, like, riding at night. I didn't have lights, and I got pulled over, and I don't know, the cop frisked me down for drugs and stuff. Kind of the same thing, that because I was riding my bike in the middle of the night, he just figured that I was had some problem with my life.
Well, I think, you know, if you're riding in at night and you're riding without lights, I don't think that anyone would have a problem with having a policeman pull you over, even if it's just for your own safety. And then, yeah, you know, when I think typically when they pull someone over, they kind of feel that it's an appropriate time to see if there's anything more to, you know, that's anything more that's going on. I don't know about frisking you or per se, but that might happen. But I think the concern here is that it was happening so many more times in the Black community than it was in anywhere else in the city, or really anywhere else in the state. I think that's where people's concerns are.
Exactly. And like I said, in Gainesville, when I lived there in the 80s, any infraction that you're on a bicycle, you better be like just like a car. You better be on the right side of the road. And I see so many people riding on the left on their bikes down here in Pasco. I'm like, you know, if you get in a wreck and you're on the wrong side of the road, they're not even going to charge the driver because you're on the wrong side of the road.
All right. Well, I appreciate that perspective. Thanks so much for calling in, Millie.
Yep.
All right. Thanks. Call back again sometime. And I'm going to read this quick email. Ryan out there says, I do think that most police officers act in good faith, but I feel that a disparity of this magnitude merits a follow-up investigation. And so our guest earlier, we heard that they were going to request an investigation from the Department of Justice's Civil Rights Division. We will definitely follow that if that ends up happening. Let's go to Eddie in Nokomis.
Hey. Yeah. I kind of do think it's discriminatory, but the real issue is we're spending all this money. If it's talking about shaking the tree and seeing what's fall, you know, we need to like go and after, you know, the white community, let's pull them over and see, you know, what they're doing. Do they have, you know, that's how you catch criminals. If that's their modus operandi, is they're saying these people don't have licenses. They don't, you know, they have warrants. That's why we're pulling them over, because we think there's crime going on and we can kind of prevent it. We're being proactive. Well, we should do that in all the nice neighborhoods too. So let's pull over some BMWs. Let's pull over some Jaguars, you know, and see these people are just, they're the biggest crooks of all. It's like they're the ones stealing all the money at the top. You know, it's easy to go after people that are breaking the law and, you know, at the low end, you know, they're breaking and entering, they're stealing and they're pawning stuff. But what about the people that are still of the white collar crime? They're stealing millions and billions. You know, we need to like go up to the top floor of the building and say, you know, this is the board of directors. Okay, let's see what, you know, what are you guys doing? Let's shake their tree a little bit and see, you know, if we can catch some bigger crimes. Let's catch some big people doing crime. But they won't do that because it's easy to pick on the little guy. It's easy for the police department and the mayor to just say, okay, let's round up the little guys. You know, that doesn't do anything. Let's stop the big crime at the top. That's what's really hurting.
I recently started reading a book by Matt Taibbi, that I think the book is going to be essentially that, looking at how much crime happens among the upper classes that is scoffed at, and how much so-called crime happens among poorer people, and there the book is thrown at them. And it's a very interesting book so far. All right, thanks for that call, Eddie.
Right on.
Appreciate it. 813-239-9663. We have a text message here from the 917 area code. Does not give a name. So 917 says, sadly, the lady retired from Pinellas Sheriff's illustrates exactly what is meant by white privilege, blinding her to structural racism, and that the inevitability of favoring folks she worked for decades. So that's the opinion of one of our listeners who texted in from the 917 area code. Let's go now to Marissa in Lakeland. Hi, Marissa.
Hi.
Hi, thanks for calling.
Hello?
Thank you for calling. Sorry I interrupted you. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, sure. I just want to say, I feel that it's very, very important for everybody driving to know, follow, and respect all the driving laws and rules of the road. People driving the bicycles, they need to respect as well, because it's very dangerous when they are riding at nighttime and they have absolutely nothing to reflect the lights from the bicycles, and you cannot see them until the very last minute. And they do all kind of dangerous things, like they crossing the road when they are not supposed to, or they are driving towards cars. So they need to know which lane they need to be driving. And also, I've seen a lot of people riding the bicycles, and they are texting. And it looked like they, I saw a young man just yesterday, and he was swirling his bicycle. I thought he was going to fall. I was so afraid. I have to slow down so much, but he didn't fall. He just kept on going. I thought that was super dangerous. They need to learn and respect the laws on the road. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for that call, Marissa. Yeah, I think that might be not exactly what our guest was concerned about earlier. I think that almost everyone would agree that people should drive safely and bicycle safely and use all precautions. But I think a little bit more is going on in this case than that. Let's talk now to Cheryl in Tampa. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi. I just want to comment that the DOG report is, they released or say what the infractions were that were given out to, that it was so, or we felt the police were picking on, hold on.
Okay, I can hear you better now.
Yeah, you're better now.
Because I know I drive through Tampa a lot, and bicyclists, regardless if they're white or black, they don't pay attention to the rules of the road, much less the bicycle rules or vehicle rules. And, I feel that if they're not going to abide by the rules, yes, they should get ticketed. And it happens to be there are a lot of neighborhoods in Tampa that are predominantly black, and there's a lot more bicycle activity in those areas. So it will be off you and not the same percentages of tickets written for blacks as tickets written for whites.
So they kind of addressed that. And here, let me see if I can explain how they figured that out. What they did, and this was a researcher actually from USF who was participating in the data analysis for this. And they looked at the number of bicycle crashes, because they, there's a record of crashes. So you can kind of use that as a kind of a guess of how many people are bicycling or whatever. And they said, do the number of stops, are they proportional in the neighborhood to the number of crashes? And if the answer had been yes, well, then what you're saying is would be right, that there are more tickets there because there's more people bicycling, and because we found there were more crashes as well. But they found the opposite of that. They found that there's the number of bicycle crashes is pretty much spread fairly evenly throughout the city. I'm not getting the minute details here perfect, but essentially there's not more bicycle crashes in these neighborhoods. So therefore, their conclusion is that they think that there are not more bicyclists in these neighborhoods, but the tickets and the pullovers and the stops and the citations are way, 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 way more. And so the Department of Justice's data analysis concluded from that fact that these were tickets were issued disproportionate to the number of bicycle riders.
Okay, but if the bicyclists were following the rules of the road and, you know, proper just stomping and walking across the crosswalks and just your basic rules, I really don't think as many would be written. I know, like I said several times, there's lots of times where I have to stop in the middle of the road before I can turn. While I have my blinker on, I have the right of way, and I have bicyclists that will just drive right in front of me or in the middle of the road where there shouldn't be, not in the bicycle lane. You know, I think that we need to also look at the what the tickets were for.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have that experience, have your experience as well. But I think that what my guest would have answered to that is that if there had been more tickets in certain neighborhoods, and when I say certain, I'm talking about neighborhoods that were predominantly black, that unless you're saying that black people ride bikes differently, which I don't think you're saying, but, you know, unless that's what you're saying, then you wouldn't expect there to be more citations or more pullovers. And so thank you for that. I really like hearing from you, Cheryl. Let's go down to Philip in Tampa. Hi, Philip.
Hey. I am a white blonde cyclist who's toured all the way to South America on a bike, and I've heard about this issue a lot before. I never get hassled. I break rules a lot. I don't ride out with a helmet, and I probably infuriate a lot of the callers that have been calling in talking about cyclists breaking rules. But this is something we've known about in the cycling community for a while, is that if you are a Caucasian, white bread-looking person, you're probably going to be fine on a bike, and then our browner friends get hassled. So I'm glad you're talking about it.
Well, thanks. I'm glad we're talking about it, too, in the sense that it's good to get this out there. I know that one of our earlier callers thinks we shouldn't be talking about it, or maybe I don't want to put words into her mouth, but thinks that, you know, has an issue with us talking about it like this. But I think it's an important topic, and I think that people in the community are concerned about it. And so I'm glad you called in and gave that experience, because that really kind of reinforces a lot of what we're talking about, that as much as you bicycle and as many rules as you've broken, that you've never gotten pulled over. I think that's very telling. So thanks for that call, Philip. Let's try Nick in Tampa. Hi, Nick.
Hey, how's it going? A lot of good points on the show. And the thing is, in this discussion, there are a lot of variables. Firstly, there's been good points where in the poorer black communities, there are parents who do not care as much. And this leads to a culture that has people that don't respect authority and makes an easy target for police. But on the other hand, there are laws that come from the wealth class that also propagate this culture and this discrimination. So is there discrimination? Of course. I mean, welcome to planet Earth. There's a lot of factors that need to be taken into it, and it's just not, I don't think it's, well, no pun intended, as black and white as people think.
All right, Nick, thank you for that call. Let's try to squeeze in one more call. Ron in Mango, you're on the air. What would you like to say?
Yeah, this is Ron, R-O-N-G. I've been fighting a fight against the city of Tampa Police Department for various reasons, not just stopping people because they're black. And the last guy was kind of right, but he said that they make, referring to black people, that they make themselves easier targets. They don't make themselves. They are the target. From that study, from all studies, and I just want to leave with you, I think it should be an investigation into the court and the collusion between the court system and the police department against political activists and their families and other people that stand up to authority, because I think that is the problem. I don't think that it's the color. I think when you demand your rights, then you're supposed to be talking too much. Like that lady said, we shouldn't be talking about it because you're starting trouble, and no, they started the trouble, and they want to leave it. That's how racism got the teeth it's got, because we have people that won't do nothing and won't say nothing, won't tell the truth, and just in straight denial. Have the cops ever been found wrong in any African-American endeavors today? Answer that question. In all, maybe 30-something thousand, 100,000 cases, not one that they said they was wrong, the police found them wrong. So
I've got to cut you off, Ron. I appreciate you calling in. I thank you so much for calling. I'm Sean Canan, the host of WMNF News Midpoint Monday. Sorry to cut you off there, Ron. Tomorrow at noon, your hero Mark Bureau will host Midpoint Tuesday. I want to thank everyone who called, emailed, and texted today. If you'd like to leave a voicemail with your thoughts, call me right now at 813-238-8001, extension 114, and I'll play your message next week. You can also join the conversation online at WMNF.org/news. Thank you for that $75 tip jar donation that came in during the show from Jane Eskenazi in Lakeland. Thank you to Frank Knox and James Rossi for engineering the show. This is WMNF Tampa.